Father Victor asked me to speak about the new man that we're all supposed to have become once we've given our life over to Jesus Christ. It made me immediately think of a quote from St. Catherine of Siena. I know you've heard this quote. And to be honest with you, when I first heard it, I kind of hated it. And the quote is, "If you are who God has created you to be, you will set the world on fire." We've heard that quote before. If we are who God created us to be, we will set the world on fire. And then so I look around myself. I'm going to be honest with you. I look around myself and I say, well, damn, either I'm not who God created me to be, or there's something seriously wrong with me in the spiritual life. Am I broken? Is God broken? What's the problem? That if I'm being honest, that's exactly how I feel when I read that quote. So when people put it in the bottom of their email, no offense to you if you have that at the bottom of your email, I like roll my eyes at that quote. But then when we read scripture, our Lord says, I have come to set the world on fire. I have come to set the world on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing. I want to remind ourselves of a couple of the promises that Christ promised if we become that new man. And then we're going to discuss, how do I really become that new man? Because I have noticed in my own personal life and in the lives of my friends, and I've got friends who are seminarians, and I've got friends who are priests, and I've got friends who are religious, that we can do all of these vocations. We can give our life to Jesus. We can consecrate our life to Mary and still live for ourselves. And not really be seeking God's will, and not really be setting other people on fire, but just being comfortable and being religious and being pious and not setting the world on fire. What does that mean? How do I do that? Our Lord said to the apostles James and John, "You will do greater things than this." Our Lord promised. He said, "I have to leave you. It is better that I..." The incarnate word of God, Jesus, walking on this earth, it is better that I leave you so that you can have the Holy Spirit and you will do greater things than this. These are some bold promises. And you will set the world on fire. And you will be my disciples to the end of the age. And wherever you go, a follower of mine, these are the signs of the followers of mine. Again, I'm like, Lord, am I not a follower? You will tread upon serpents. You will eat poisonous food. You will cure the sick. You will heal the blind. Oh my gosh. Are we broken? Is there something wrong with us? But there, and this is at the end of the Gospel of Mark, there's a very important key line that Mark includes. Because a lot of times, whenever we think about that, we see somebody who's sick, and we're like, I have no power of healing. I have no power of this or speaking. We miss the point. We don't have that power. A lot of the times, the saints, Padre Pio and all these others, who do these miraculous things that we're called to be able to do, they will say, I did not heal that person. Jesus healed that person. And I would be like, no, Padre Pio, you healed that person. Because I can't heal that person, and you did, you healed that person. But no, in the Gospel of Mark, the very last thing he says, after he said that he sent out the disciples with this command to do these things in his name, it says, the Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them. In Colossians, the verse that Father has asked us to pray about, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died. St. Paul says, I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. This changes the way we see everything. Christianity is not about staying out of sin. It's important. You have to do it. Christianity is not about saying the prayers. And I say the prayers. We have to do them. That's not what Christianity is about. Why did Jesus die on the cross? We always hear from our Protestant brothers and sisters, he died on the cross to forgive me of my sins so that I can go to heaven. That's not why he died on the cross. That's not why he gave us the sacraments. He gave us the sacraments for unity with him. He became a man so that we could become like God. But how does that happen? Union with God. So when we offer ourselves, we say prayers of consecration. Lord, I give you my life. I surrender everything. I can still do that, and I can say the prayers, and I can be in the state of grace, and I can do all the things. and I can still not be united to His will. What is holiness? We say, oh, I want to be a saint, I want to be holy. When we look at the lives of the saints, many times when we're taught about the saints, some people will say, a saint is a person, you can look at their life, and it was as if Jesus lived their vocation. Oh, St. Gianna, she was a doctor, it was as if Jesus was a doctor. What has to happen in our life? The secret to being on fire, the secret to being fire, is the will of God. It is not about our emotions. It is not about how we feel. It is not about where we work. It is not about how we look. It is about, am I united to His will? Doing His will is the absolute most important thing, and it is the only thing that matters. If we look at the life of the Virgin Mary, she went through a wide range of emotions. Her emotions did not make her holy. Her actions, her choices, her firm set of her heart to do God's will. Let it be done to me according to thy word. She didn't know what the plan was. It didn't look right. A single woman, you want me to have a baby? My husband's not going to understand. I am poor. Let it be done to me according. If that's what our life looks like a lot of the times. It looks messy. God, do you really want me to be here? You really want me to be working here? Do you really want me to be going through this? Let it be done to me according to thy word. Let me cooperate with you. Let me operate with you. How can Jesus have a life? St. Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, we'll be hopefully mentioning a lot of doctors of the church because these are our sure guides. St. Teresa of Avila said, Jesus has no hands and feet to work miracles except mine. If I don't give him my will, I can be in a place where I'm a missionary, I'm in a hospital, I'm at a bank, I'm wherever I am. I'm cutting hair. I am supposed to be Jesus cutting hair. How do I do that? How do I know what God's will is? So why God's will? Number one, your heart was created. We always hear talks on vocations. My heart was created to only find peace. That's what we're all longing for. We're longing for peace and happiness that does not end. That only, and everybody's a little bit different. We're all this, people say, I'm different from you, don't put your priority. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. We all have a hole in our heart that can only be satisfied when I cut off my will and I follow God's plan for my individual life. So it's true, no two stories are the same. Our hearts are all a little different. They're all satisfied by God alone, but God has put a longing in my heart, a special plan for me, and that plan alone, regardless of how sticky it looks because of sin, that is God's path to our peace, so that you can be poor, you can be in a rough situation, you can be with family members who resent you because you're a religious zealot, but you can have peace there because you know it's God's will that you are there. But you have to be doing His will. I don't care how much little things you do with great love. If it is not His will, you are not holy. You are not holy. You're going through emotional exercises. His will, His will. There's many times Jesus was agonizing in the garden. He was sweating blood. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. His will, His will, His will. Everything else, cast that aside. Your prayers should be directed at helping you to accomplish His will. Your prayers should be directed at helping you to hear His will. How do I know His will? Before we get that, it's very important. Why do I need to know it? Peace of soul. Number two, sanctity. What is holiness? Maximilian Kolbe, a great theologian, wrote a math equation, which was capital W plus lowercase w equals S. So God's will, the big capital W, the cross, I sacrifice my will to do God's will, that equals holiness. So it's going to come at a personal death. It's going to come at a personal death. You don't have to do anything different. I am not here asking you, I'm going to ask you later, but right now I am not asking you to pray any other prayers. I am simply asking you to do everything you do, but sacrifice it so that it's God's will. Another reason why we want to do God's will. I am a weak man. I like the easy life. We all do. The easiest path, why? Because I have peace of soul. The path of peace of soul is truly the easiest path. is God's will. When you are doing God's will, you have the protection of God's providence, God's providing hand. Often we say, God, how come this? God, how come that? If God were to speak back to you, he may say, because you're not doing my will. Why am I not providing for you? Because you're off doing your own thing. And then when you want something, you say, hey, can I have, can I have, can I have? If you do what I want, I'll take care of you. That's what a follower of Christ is. I am the vine. He who abides in me, he who remains in me. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. When you do my will, not just because you say the prayers and ask God for the stuff. No, if you're doing my will, Saint Therese said, God answers all my prayers because I only want what he wants. I go where he sends me. You will have the protection of God's providence. If something bad happens, you're doing God's will, you're praying about it, something bad happens, you know what you can say? Hey, what are you doing? Wake up. I'm doing your will. This is how you treat people who do your will. No wonder nobody does your will. And then he'll say, okay, shut up, boy. You get what you need. Don't be telling people that. Okay, Father. Also, why do you have to do God's will? Not only your sanctification, the sanctification of other people. God has put you where you are for one reason. He loves you, but he also loves the people around you. And if you don't do his will, their souls might not be impacted. And that doesn't always mean, it doesn't always mean talking about the faith. It doesn't always mean that. I'll give you one example. The Blessed Virgin Mary, who fulfilled this equation perfectly, she united her will perfectly to the will of God. When she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she made great haste because it was God's will. She greeted her cousin and said, what happened? The scripture says that the moment your greeting reached my ears, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The child in my womb leapt for joy. A child was sanctified, was made holy. A woman became a believer that she was the mother of God and that God was in her womb simply by doing God's will. She didn't have to preach and say, Jesus is here, follow this way. The moment she obeyed, she heard, the child was sanctified. All you have to do is God's will. And sometimes that means helping people. And that's what Mary went to do with her cousin Elizabeth. So at work, people know you're Catholic. God willing, they know you're Catholic because of the exterior signs and symbols. They come to work in a bad mood, and you just love them. And you might say, well, I always love them. But if you're doing it out of love for God, that's the key. So how do I know God's will? What are your duties of the present moment? Instead of doing them for yourself, you just take a pause and say, Lord, give me purity intention. Help me to do this out of love for you. Help my labor that I'm doing, help the way I speak, help the way I act, be a sign of my love for you. And that does several things. One, your work will be done way better. It'll be done way better. Two, that makes you holy. That makes you holy. That's holiness. And your work will have grace flowing around it. You can clean your room because you have to, because your in-laws or whoever, I don't know, is coming to visit you. Somebody's going to come stay at your house. Or you can clean your room because the Lord wants order in your house. And you're doing everything, wiping, Lord, you like this? This is beautiful, eh? And your windows will shine with a special grace. I'm not kidding. It's a very beautiful thing. Union with him. And then when he asks you to do something that you know you can't do, you're at Bucky's and you see somebody with a crippled leg and you're like, Lord, and we'll talk about how I know more, but when you are there in the checkout line, there's like a person there and they look a little weird and you feel the Lord is saying, pray for them. Okay, Lord, bless them. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I'm not a prayer warrior. Just do what I tell you. Okay, fine. And then you pray over this person and maybe they're healed. Maybe they're not. Maybe they just say, thank you so much. That was so meaningful to me. And then you can honestly say, that wasn't me. That was all the Lord because I'm a coward. We had this whole back and forth for 5 minutes during the checkout. Listen to that little voice. So how do I know what God's will is? Number one, what are the duties of your state in life? Embrace those. Those are not a curse. Those are not a burden. When you do it out of love for God, his providence works. His providence works. He keeps his promises when we follow his will. We can't, that is the mark of a child. Our Lord said all the time, it is not those who said, Lord, Lord, but those who did the will of their heavenly Father. How else do I know God's will? My conscience. You have to have a well-formed conscience. You can't just make, you know, go around with a deformed conscience. But if you have a well-formed conscience, Catechism of the Catholic Church says that your conscience is the voice of Christ for you. At your judgment, you will be accountable for your conscience. Did you do what God was calling you to do? So those tuggings on the heart, it's not voices that you hear in your head. But Catechism of the Catholic Church guarantees us that the voice, it's not necessarily a voice, but that's the word they use, this tugging in the present moment, keyword present moment. The present moment is everything. We get worried about the future. What's going to happen to me here? What's going to happen there next week? This. Shut your brain off. Right here, right now is all you have. But what about this guy? He said this to me in the back. That does not exist. The past does not exist. The future does not exist. This is the only thing that exists. You have so much anxiety and stress because you're worried about all these situations that don't exist. You're thinking about things that happened to you that did happen, but they don't exist anymore. They only exist right here. The saints say there's an eighth sacrament. Wow. It's not really an eighth sacrament. Jesus only instituted seven sacraments, but in a way, there's an eighth sacrament. That's the sacrament of God's will in the present moment. Embracing the present moment. Discerning, God, what is your will for me right now? In the moment, he will tell you what he wants. In the moment, he will tell you what he wants. We often fantasize about being happy in the future. If you're not happy now, you will not be happy in the future. You need to figure out a way to be happy and holy in this very moment. This is all you have. And you don't know how many more moments of these you're going to get. And that's what makes you holy. Lord, what? And so it's as easy as this. You come home from this retreat. You walk into the door. You can do one of two things. You can go into automatic mode and watch the same television shows and go on the same walk and call the same people and just go through the routine again. Or you can pause and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want of me? How do you want to live in me? And I give you my word. I give you my word. There's going to be a tugging there that's going to say, clean up. Call your mom. Help this person. Schedule a lunch. A lot of the times it's going to be things, 99.99% of the times it's going to be things you don't want to do. But if you do those things, you become holy. You have God's providence. You have God's protection. You will notice what these are called signal graces. When you're walking in the will of God, signs will happen all around you. Little coincidences that would not have happened had you not done that. You have to just pause all throughout the day and have this constant conversation. When St. Paul says pray always, it does not necessarily mean, because you can do Hail Marys always and you can do the Jesus Prayer always, but what he really means is have a recollection. Pause. You know that special place where you've been praying for a while and you're like, I have a sense that God is present. I don't even need to say things at this point. You want to try and live life in that place so that when something off happens, you're kind of like, God, I feel you're there. Now, how does this impact my reception of, for example, the Eucharist? I can receive the Eucharist and feel very special because it's truly God in me. That's one way. That's not how St. Therese received the Eucharist. When St. Therese, doctor of the church, was in community, they did not receive Holy Communion every day or even every week. And she wanted Holy Communion as often as possible. Why? Because she was trying to live. What we're discussing right now is truly the little way. The little way of St. Therese is often misunderstood to be, oh, do little things with great love. I love that. Of course, that's a great way to paraphrase it. But St. Therese recognized in herself, I don't have what it takes to love my sisters. God, I need you to come into my life. So St. Therese would have, remember, we've all seen those little sacrifice beads. I'm doing sacrifices. Why was she doing these sacrifices? To break her will into 1,000 little pieces so that God's will can be living in her and she could be really docile to whatever he wants and asking her at all times. So we should receive Holy Communion as fuel to be one. Of course, obviously, the two of us are one at this moment. You all know theology of the body. I give myself to you. You give gave myself to me, the two become one flesh, freely, faithful, all those beautiful words. That should be happening in the Eucharist. But what does it really mean to give myself? It means I give you my will. That's the deepest thing that you own. You can live a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience and still live a life for yourself. But when you break your will and say, this is my most cherished possession, I give you my very will. Help me to hear your voice so I can do what you want. Give me the strength so that I can love who you want me to love, so I can say what you want me to say. No longer may it be I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now we're going to take a quick pivot because this is a little difficult. I'm going to teach you the only shortcut in the spiritual life. Who is it that can say most perfectly, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me? Who is it that fulfills the Beatitudes most perfectly? Who is it that fulfills every word of the New Testament? And that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the easiest, the sweetest, the fastest, the most secure path to Jesus Christ. I have to give you one theological point first. Because Jesus Christ was perfectly obedient to his mother, and because God the Father knew my son has to obey her in all things and he deserves the very best, her voice for my son has to be my voice. So to say that Mary's will and God's will are the same is perfectly theologically fine. The will of Mary and the will of God are the same. But, big but, our Lord Jesus Christ has willed that you have a mother. So how do I become like Christ? Union with him. How do I become this new man? How do I become Christ? The same way that Christ was born, you have to be born. The same way that Christ was nourished, you have to be nourished. The same way that Christ was obedient to his mother, you have to be obedient to his mother. And this is a great favor. God has willed that you have a sweet, sweet, sweet path. So you can try and do God's will, and I really want you to. Hopefully I've convinced you that God's will for your life is the fire of the Holy Spirit. But I want to convince you to do Mary's will. Mary's will and God's will are the same. They're the same. Theologically, we know this. But Mary's, because God wants you to have her, Mary's will is the sweet version. The only way I can describe it is the sweet version. Other saints describe it as the fast version, the easiest version, the most secure version of the will of God. A special protection. You have a mother. The reality is a lot of times we say it. We might even pray it, but we deep down don't believe it. Mary loves you because your goal in life, again, is not to be a sinless person to sneak into heaven. No, your goal in life, heaven is union with God, to become another Christ. If you go to heaven, it's only because you are a member of the body of Christ. The Virgin Mary loves you with the love of Christ. Her goal is to make you into her son, make you into her child, unity with Christ. That's her goal. Do you believe really? And think about how much the Virgin Mary loved the infant Christ as a natural mother, just holding him in her arms, looking at his eyes, rocking him. Do you think she took her eyes off of him? Do you think she took her heart off of him? Watching him nurse at her breast, she was all enraptured with him. Her heart was overflowing for him. When he cried, she was there. When he cried, it hurt her. When he cried, she wanted nothing more than to console him, to love him, to feed him, to raise him. Do you believe that that's how she looks at you? Do you believe that when you're crying, it hurts her? Do you believe that she never takes her eyes off of you? Do you think that she doesn't want to console you? You don't even have to say a prayer. We don't even have to say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed. You don't even have to say that. You only need to say Mary. You don't even have to say Mary. You just have to look up to her. Put your eyes upon her. Become aware that she's looking at you and you're looking at her. Because sometimes you can't say words. All you have to do is give her your heart. She doesn't want to take you from Jesus. She just wants to make you into Jesus. And this is why we don't understand the rosary. So the Virgin Mary's role is always to bring Christ to you as fast and as safe as possible. You give your life to Mary because Jesus did it first. You obey her voice because Jesus did it first. So by you obeying her voice, you become more like Christ, faster, the most perfect disciple, the spouse of the Holy Spirit. The consoler is her spouse. When you're in desolation, who crushes the head of the serpent? The Virgin Mary. The serpent brings desolation, anxiety, fear, temptation, depression, despair. Our Lady's role is to crush the head of the serpent. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. When she enters in, the Holy Spirit comes and we have peace. God put this into every human's physiology. A child comes out of the womb yearning for their mother, yearning for their mother. When soldiers are at war, there's many stories of them, when they're about to die, they're screaming for their mothers. Grown men, military men, strong men, screaming for their mothers. God put this longing in every person's heart. The fastest way to convert your neighbor, I wish it was through Jesus Christ, but the saints tell us, and theology tells us, the fastest way to bring Jesus Christ into the world is through the womb of the Virgin Mary. We have concupiscence. Father talked about our original sin, our inclination to sin, our fear of God, our idea that God doesn't love us. That concupiscence does not apply to Mary. You have no fear of Mary, no intrinsically disordered one that comes with being a fallen human being. So I ask you this, walk with Our Lady. When you receive your sacraments, say, Blessed Mother, help me to receive your son like you received him. And this is a beautiful thing that's going to happen. A child resembles their parent. They resemble their parents. There's something that resembles their parents. You will become more like Mary. So you give your life to Mary because of Jesus, and then Mary also makes you like her for Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees the face of the Virgin Mary. When you pray to her and she prays on your behalf, that makes his heart so happy, because that is the epitome of who we are called to be. So I go to receive the same Holy Communion, but I say, Blessed Mother, help me. And you can have two people with the same, if you have a twin with the same exact soul, the same exact mind, one of them simply says, Mary, help me to receive Holy Communion. The other person says all the prayers that are the same except for that one. This person who's asked for Mary will get more grace, guaranteed. We'll get more grace. I'll answer questions at the end, sorry. Now, I'm going to teach you something. Mary's goal is to make you like Jesus. Nobody is good at the rosary. Nobody's good at it. People say, I'm not good at that. I don't pray it. Nobody's good at it. Nobody can do two things at once. Nobody can be like, Hail Mary, full of grace, and then perfectly imagine the life of Jesus Christ in your mind. Why do we have the rosary? Why is Mary's favorite prayer the rosary? She came here to make you like Christ. We have an identity crisis. We have an identity crisis. What happens when I say 50 times, because this is not fun either. You're not going to convince anybody to pray the rosary by saying, it's a great prayer. It's tons of fun. It's like riding a roller coaster. No, it's not. If you enjoy it, thank God, because most people do not. I do not, and I pray many rosaries a day. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Objectively, this is not fun. You're doing the same thing over and over again. But what? Why? Why am I repeating these same words over and over and over again? Because that's about how many times it takes for me to grasp that God became a man because he loves me. The purpose of my life is not what I see around me. Why does Mary ask you to repeat them over and over and over and over again? Yes, because it's efficacious. Why does she have so many favors granted for them? Because when you pray this, remember I said, what is the key to holiness? Union with God's will. How do I do God's will? I have to kill my self-will. How do I kill my self-will? This is death. I don't pray this because I want to feel good. I pray this to die. And when you see this as a method of self-denial, of saying, it is no longer I who live, but Virgin Mary who lives in me. And then daily you go through the Annunciation. You go through Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth. You eventually get to the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. You are reminded who you are. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has come and set you free. He died for you on the cross. He rose for you. He sent you out. He instituted the Eucharist for you. You go through this school with the Virgin Mary, and the saints say a lot of promises. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to tell you right now, I mention this at every talk, so I'll be done in 5 minutes, don't worry. I mention this at every talk. One of the greatest con jobs that the devil has accomplished in modern times is that when I say the Virgin Mary asks us to pray the rosary, you think I mean this. But that's not what the rosary is. Objectively, this is just a true fact. When the Virgin Mary appeared to St. Dominic because he was saying, the people are horrible. And there have been times worse than these. I know that it sounds like we're living in horrible times. When the Virgin Mary appeared to Juan Diego, they were murdering children in public and holding them up and then wearing their skins and then eating them. So there have been worse times than these, and the Virgin Mary took care of those as well. But when St. Dominic was beseeching the Virgin Mary, saying, please, we need something. We need something to call the mercy of God. Where are all the promises? Where's the Holy Spirit? I can't convert any of these heretics. And he fasted and he prayed. The Virgin Mary appeared to him. This is objective. This is a fact. I'm not trying to push to you my own personal agenda. This is the Virgin Mary's agenda. She said to Dominic, preach my Psalter. Preach my Psalter. If you're familiar with that term, the Psalter represents the Psalms, 150 Psalms. The religious at the time would pray, and still do, pray the Liturgy of the Hours in the morning, in the day, and in the evening. Some of them pray even more than that. And so lay people did not, most of them could not read at this time. It was before the printing press. And so lay people would pray the beads, and they would pray 150 of them. The Virgin Mary told St. Dominic, preach my Psalter, the version of the Psalter, the version of the Psalms that was a repetition 150 times of the Hail Mary, the angelic salutation, and to pray them throughout the day, adding to it the mysteries of the life of Christ. And if you do this, I promise you, signal graces, signs from heaven to give you guideposts. When people begin taking up the entire rosary, their life becomes full of signs. This is a way, a shortcut to finding God's will for you. Because I've been trying this for the past several years to always focus on God's will. I forget and I start doing my own thing. But then when I die in this little contraption that the Virgin Mary gave to us, I die and in the middle of this, she talks to me and she's like, hey, dummy, why'd you stop? Remember, you're supposed to have a soft heart, not a hard heart. You're supposed to love people, not to hate people, and rub it in their face when you think you're right. Remember that? I'm like, yes, mother. Go apologize and delete what you just posted on Facebook. Fine, I'll go delete it right now. It's true, it happens all the time. And it only happens because I picked this up and it kills my self-love and my self-will. She also promised that if you pray this, you'll have special protection. John Paul II, we all know John Paul II, and on May 13th, 1981, he prayed four rosaries a day. He prayed the entire rosary. So that's the Apostles' Creed only once, and then you make the loops. See, this is like a racetrack. If you know NASCAR, you only get on there once, and then you go over four times. He would pray four, and he was shot at point from the distance from here to there. I don't shoot guns, but I would not miss my target from here to there. He was shot, and the bullet went into his chest perfectly for all the vital organs. But they don't understand how, although the bullets went in perfectly, somehow they moved around and did not touch any vital organs. And he said, because he didn't even have death anxiety, he was very calm. And they said, Holy Father, are you okay? I'm fine. How did you know you were going to be fine? Because I knew that although one finger pulled the trigger, the finger of the Virgin Mary was guiding the bullets. So the Virgin Mary promises special protection. And most importantly, there's many other promises, but for me, most importantly, she promises to decrease sin, to destroy vice, to defeat heresies. I work with high school youth, and I've done nothing but promote the rosary. And high school youth, 99.9% of them are addicted to porn. That starts a pornified culture. When they start praying the entire rosary, they stop their porn addiction. They begin to love the sacraments. They begin to go to confession frequently. I have seen drug addicts addicted to drugs, addicted to marijuana, addicted to harder drugs. By the thousands, people have stopped. Our high school youth program, I'm going to tell you a secret. Our high school youth program, high school, four of our teenagers out of high school this year alone are going to the seminary. Four. Four. You have a vocations crisis? No, not where we're at, not where the Virgin Mary's at. Four. St. Teresa's is going to have 8 seminarians from St. Teresa's by the time this is all over. That's a lot. You're going to see the vocations posters in 4 or 5 years. St. Teresa, St. Teresa, St. Teresa, St. Teresa, St. Teresa. I'm not kidding. Why? It's not because of me. It's not because of Claire. It's not because of Father David. It's because of the Virgin Mary. When she goes into your life, as a good mother, she consoles you, yes. But what else does a good mother do? She whips her children into shape. She whips them into shape. If you're struggling with any vice that nobody knows about, go for the full rosary. Is it hard? Not as hard as you expect, because killing yourself to pray one rosary is actually really, really hard. But if you've already killed yourself once, you can, I mean spiritually, of course. You know, I hope you know I mean spiritually. When you already do it once, the second one becomes very easy. And then the third one becomes nothing. And then the fourth one, you're like, well, hell, at this rate, I might as well pray 10. Been praying all day. But you will go from victory to victory and from grace to grace. If you're praying no rosaries, I don't want you to start being like, I'm going to lift all the weights right now. And you go into the gym and then you hurt your back because you've never lifted weights before. If you're praying no rosaries, pray one. Pray one. If you're already praying one, try two. Do one in the morning and one in the evening. If you really need some grace, go one in the morning, one in the lunchtime, one in the nighttime. If you are like, I'm in, I've got family members, I've got cousins, I've got co-workers, I've got employees, I've got bosses who are diabolically infested, we're going all in, I'm Team Jesus, I'm Team Mary, let's suffer, then do one in the morning, do four. Nobody has ever picked up the rosary and after praying it has regretted it. If you're going to try and add a rosary to your life, try it at least for a week. It takes a week. The devil's number one tactic is not to act like a monster. He uses the path of least resistance. And his voice will say, pray later. That is how you know it's the devil. You get these consolations during retreat. Those are called consolations. St. Ignatius of Loyola says when you get a consolation, that is a sign that it's from God. And then later, once you have this consolation, you hang on to it. Later, the devil will say, you're too tired. And then you're going to say, yeah, I've had a long day. And then, or the devil will say, eat first, knowing that after you eat, you're going to get tired, and knowing that your aunt's going to call you, and knowing that your show's on at 7 o'clock. When you hear the devil say, later, you say, go to hell. We pray right now. All right. I have a book recommendation for you. I have a book recommendation for you. This was the favorite book of Maximilian Kolbe. So Maximilian Kolbe is one of the greatest Mariologists. Pope John Paul II called him the prophet for the new millennium. I can't get into his life. I wish I could. This was his favorite book. This helped to form him. The only bad thing about this book is that the author did not depend upon the writings of Maximilian Kolbe. So this formed Maximilian Kolbe. It could have only been better if Maximilian Kolbe could have added a couple words in here. So it's a very powerful book. It is a very short read. The chapters are like 2 pages, 3 pages max. But I will be honest, I'm about right here, and I've been reading it for the past year. Why? Because it's not something you're like, zoom! No, it's more like something that you pray with. You go to the chapel, you pray with it, and you're like, oh man, this is some heavy stuff. It's not a hard read, but it's a deep read. For me, it's like a fountain of life. I go to this, I read it, and I'm like, dang, why did I ever put this down? Then I go back, wow, this is amazing. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, this is amazing. But you can only drink 2 or 3 pages at a time, or else you become drunk and you can't even see straight. It's called Life of Union with Mary. It is a practical guide to have a sense of the presence of the Virgin Mary. When you have Mary's presence, what happens is you have confidence. When you know Mary's watching you, she's walking with you, you're less afraid. A lot of times we sin because we hear the negative voice in our head. When you're walking with the Virgin Mary, you have a sense of her presence, you hear her say, no, you shut up, voice in there. I'm the crushing the head of the serpent. This is my child. And she'll claim you as her own. It will also help you to keep not only keep a sense of her presence, but to help you do God's will with her. And so when you're listening to your conscience, we can trick ourselves. We can say, it's God's will I go on a vacation and I should treat myself right. I'm going to get an SUV on the rental car. And even though God might be saying, no, you're good with the economy. It's just you. No need for an SUV. When you can trick your conscience, but when you ask the Virgin Mary, Virgin Mary, what do you want? Her role is to crush the head of the serpent, so your discernment is easier. All right, so I have like 12 copies of this book there for free for whoever wants them. Do not race over there. You will get your own. They're only $8. You get them on the website called Academy of the Immaculate. Academy of the Immaculate. It's a religious community dedicated to Marian theology. We'll say a closing prayer, and then we'll do any questions you might have. All right. So you please join me in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. We love, help us to love more. Blessed Mother, help us to see you the way Jesus sees you. Help us to love you the way Jesus loves you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you so much for watching this lecture. This channel is dedicated to lectures and presentations. If you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe. Also, I have a very good, popular YouTube channel called Gabi After Hours. If you have not seen it, if you're not subscribed there, you must go check it out. We have high quality productions, presentations, documentaries like you've never seen before. Check that out. There's a picture of Maximilian Kolbe in a little circle. Click that. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you very soon.